Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And thank you, everyone. I'm glad to have a very, very special day. We're all having special days, and every day is a special day. And welcome to When Pigs Fly, and this is Andrew Fetter. I want to thank BBS Radio, of course, producing the show. Of course, all you out there who have listened, will listen, and are listening. I have an extraordinary guest today that I want to get right into. I'm sure you may have heard about him or heard about him one way or another. And if you haven't, you better get out of the rock here that you're hiding under. There is a very famous movie he's done in the past. It's pretty much actually a couple of several movies. One is, of course, Comatica. The other one is Esoteric Agenda. And, of course, Ungripped. I suggest everyone out there, please do check them out. They're actually on YouTube for free. So they're very informing. They've been out for several years, and they're not only eye-opening, but they're mind-opening. He has also a group called Harrisonic that has been crossing the United States of late on a national tour. In fact, I just recently saw them playing in the famous Viper Room, and they're an extraordinary group, and he is the lead singer in that group, and I feel honored to have Ben Stewart on my show. And are you still there, Ben?
Yes, man. It's great to be back.
Yeah, how's it going? Been a couple of years since speaking to you, and God, I didn't realize your group. I got to tell you, you guys are really tight. I mean, I see a lot of groups. I've been in the industry in the past where I used to bring a lot of groups into Australia and overseas, and I got to tell you, you guys are really amazing. I wish you well, and I think you guys are going to do well. Before I get into some stuff that I know you want to talk about your groups and what your adventures are in the artistical field, those who are not familiar with you, could you give a little bit of your background?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, you mentioned the band, and the band is actually how I even got into the films. So, you know, my background is I grew up in mainly tropical islands. You know, one is the Marshall Islands, Kwajalein to be specific, a really small island with the Marshallese culture there. So a beautiful shamanic culture that I grew up with, and then out to Hawaii and bounced around all over the U.S. I was an Army brat. My dad was in the Army, so that was why we moved so much. So we bounced around all over the states then and finally landed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that was when I really started getting into playing and performing music. I'd always been a big fan, but I started getting into percussions and hand drums. And then eventually, when I was in high school, I hopped into a band. Then that band kind of slowly fizzled out because I went into the Air Force. So as soon as I went into the Air Force, I started recognizing a little bit more what was going on in the world. At least in a military sense, I saw the foreign intervention and the foreign policy that we held. So I started becoming a little bit more worldly in that sense. And that was why after I did my 6 years, I completed my enlistment because, you know, I did an oath and made a promise. And I decided to see it through. But as soon as I got out, I began speaking out against it in the band that I was in. So that was Harrisonic. I've been in Harrisonic for about 10 years, and the lyrics have changed over the years, but as they were changing, they started getting a little bit more into me speaking out on what I was seeing in the military. And eventually, when I got out of the military, I just began working on a film, and it was going to be about the band. It was going to be a lot more about the message of the band and why the lyrics were the way they were. And I'm not even sure how it happened, but I eventually ended up working 6 months on this one film, and it went from a 15-minute film about the band into a two-hour documentary that had nothing to do with the band, and that was called Esoteric Agenda. So when I released that online, it just went viral. And there were a lot of people coming to me like, what do I do now? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And the whole point of the film was think for yourself. You know, go within, recognize that none of these things that I'm pointing out in the film are anything to ruin your life over or to be too worried over. But they're there specifically so you can make a change in your perception. So I decided to make a film after that called Chymatica that was 100% about taking responsibility for yourself. Don't run to other people that you think are authority figures or filmmakers or, you know, musicians or artists or whoever it may be that you look up to. Don't run to them to try and change your mind or change your perception or change the world around you. It's all about you. And that was when I came out with the film Chymatica. And then after that, I met this guy, Rob, in the Paget family who lived up in Canada, and he'd become a sovereign. He had moved himself off-grid, completely self-sustaining, sent in all of his contracts, like his driver's license, birth certificate, all of those things. He sent them back to their original owners, because if you look on the back of your birth certificate, it says you are the property of that nation.
Right.
So he didn't like that. He sent all those documents back, and he became a sovereign. And I just noticed that this guy was living everything that I had been talking about in the previous two films. So I decided to make that film, and that became titled Ungrip.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I know. One thing I got to tell you, which I didn't know that you had, it was the other way around, which I guess, you know, it's amazing how certain things meet different paths to two different, create different things. And I think maybe, you know, sometimes they call it everything's a sort of a circle. So maybe the path of Harrisonic was to get you to create the films, and then that brings you back to Harrisonic again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like I said, I've heard a lot of music that's out there, and I can only think of the closest one that, and one of the drum members, an old friend of mine who, you know, for Rage Against the Machine. And I remember back in the day, back in the 90s, they were like the only group that had really pouring out any message. Everybody else was just, I mean, a real, I would call a social, political message, how people change the perceptions of things. And I think in your music, when I was singing there, which was amazing, and obviously guys, by the way, extremely talented and very, each individual very extremely talented and also noteworthy. You guys are really have a show, you know, you're good, you're very well, good stage performers as well, but your music, besides having the music, you have lyrics that actually I find make people think about the way things are and change things for themselves and the perspectives of things, which I think you're the epitome of it. You're sort of trying to walk, you know, some people don't just talk the talk, you're trying to walk the walk, and you talk about the ungrip. But, and, you know, we all try to see, because we're so fought within the parallels of our society with trying to change stuff. But I think it does start, what you said, perception, which I often find in my own spiritual teaching of people and reading stuff. I always have issues and people changing the perspective, which I find, you know, I always go refer back to your movie, by the way, or movies. It's sort of funny. So where are you as far as, I know, in Harrisonic, where are you guys? I know you guys are, do you guys just cut a new album?
Yeah, our latest album is entitled Consciousness, Fame, God, Money, Power. And that's actually one of the mantras, you know, one of the lines in the song Paper Nation. And so this is an album that actually has a complete storyline. You'll recognize the album by the front cover is an upside-down man, like the Hanged Man in the tarot deck, but it's more of a modern representation of it. So yeah, we did that the beginning. That was released the beginning of 2011, and we've been touring ever since in support of that album. We're actually here this week in L.A. doing a music video for the song Infinity off that album.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So, and you've been doing... now, let me ask you something else. What are the names of your other members on your group? Because I don't think so people are aware of who your members are.
Okay, well, there is our bassist is Mike Stang, And we have Jared Cannon on guitar and Randy Elmy on drums. And each one of them, I think you you nailed it when you said each one of them, you know, they have their own thing going on. They're both talented in their own respect. Our bassist is just phenomenal at what he does on bass. You know, he holds down the backbone of, you know, the backbone groove of the song. And he just has a wild stage performance. He's incredible up there. He's really, you know, he's a showman. Our guitarist, he's really into, he's a gearhead and he's really into his tone. So his stage performance, he just kind of gets lost in the moment. You'll see him up there and he's kind of like in his own dimension. And our drummer, I've never seen a more like tight, solid drummer in my life. So these guys, they really have their own persona about them. So what I like about it is it's not Ben Stewart and Hyrasonic. Every single one of the members, like if you ever see a Chili Peppers music video or see them on stage, each one of them are showcasing themselves, and there's a story being told about each one of them. And that's what's beautiful. You know, we're a band, not just a singer-songwriter with a backup band.
Right, right. That's actually a good comparison because that's like Flea and... Yeah, I can see how you could compare that. And by the way, the bass player, I mean, all of them, my girlfriend that when we went to saw it, she was like blown away by the drummer as well.
Mm-hmm.
The bass, I play a little bit of bass, I play sax, but I was blown away how his style changes. He was playing pick style, slap, and it was sort of funny him putting in his pocket within the same song, playing three variations on the bass on the same song, which was pretty cool. You don't see too many people do that and still be able to count, you know, be in there. And your guitarist, yeah, he was pretty amazing as well.
Yeah, we've been doing it 10 years, so we've had a bunch of time to let the chemistry kind of meld between the four of us.
So let me ask you this, because I know since you got... I really compare it to political spirituality, if I can use that word, implying... but how does your other group members, how do they feel about the dynamics that you're putting out there as a social, spiritual, political awareness in your message, if you want to say that, as an artist or artiste?
Well, they love it. They absolutely love it for several reasons. For one, they recognize that it's just my art. It's what I do, what I speak about, the films that I do. It's what makes me who I am. And the thing that I recognize about them is, you know, they haven't gone out and made a documentary film about their worldview and who they are, but they do it in other ways, and actually a lot of it they do through their music. Each and every one of them has like their own quirk and their own twist. So the way that they dress, the way that they play, the way that they come across in the music videos and in the photo shoots, everything that they do, and when we do interviews all together, it's they wear themselves on their sleeves and they wear it like a badge. So the thing that I love about the dynamic of the group is they love what I do and they support what I do, but what I recognize, and they may never admit this because they're humble, but without them, the films never would have come about because I really did come into my own. I came into my own being through the band, and they taught me a lot about myself. And you could imagine when you're on the road nonstop with three other individuals, and you know you're sharing the same space with them all across the country. You're losing toothbrushes and using theirs. You're, you know, like wearing each other's clothes when one gets like torn up or something like that. We're basically brothers. We're family. So they taught me who I actually am. So the films wouldn't be what they are without these guys. I owe almost everything that I am to them, my brother who helped me with the films, and my parents. So it's a beautiful dynamic, you know, and they recognize how much, they may not admit it, but they recognize how much they put into those films as well. You know, their heart, their blood, sweat, and tears all belong in that film.
Let me ask you this, on some examples of some of your music, what would be like this, what would you emphasize? Like, you know, some of the songs I heard you sing, you only sang a couple songs because it was sort of limited on at the Viper, but what would you say off your new latest LP would be an example of what your message you're trying to say, if I could ask you that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what lyra that you use that you want to apply that you could say, hey, this is what I said in here, and this is what I was trying to say. You know, so sometimes when people put out songs, people hear a message and they recontort what the artist is trying to say, but that's in a sec part of the art. What would you say is in your lyra that reflects to what you're trying to, what you're in your mind, what you're trying to reflect out, what you feel is important?
Well, there's quite a few songs there that really touch upon it, because the whole album is a storyline. You know, if I wanted to dodge the question, I would say all of them, like the whole album. But I would say probably more closer to what I'm into now is probably the last two songs on the album, which are Infinity and The World Upside Down. So, I mean, you can find both of them on YouTube or even on Spotify if any of the listeners want to check it out. The band is Hyrosonic, and the songs that I think really, really nailed down the message of where I've been lately is Infinity and The World Upside Down. And the reason The World Upside Down, if you look at the front cover, there's a man hanging upside down, and that's how he sees the world, just like in the tarot deck. So both of those songs, it's the last two songs on the album, they really, really speak to me maybe a little bit more than the others, just because they were the last two songs that I wrote for the album. So there's a whole evolution to the album. It starts with the song Slave Machine, then it moves to the song Baphomet, and then, to the Media Taught You That. So at the very beginning of the album, it's this man that you see on the front cover going through his journey. And as the album goes on, he's hearing voices in his head, and he's hearing the voice of his own soul, and he doesn't recognize it as such, so he sees it as a demon. And as the storyline of the album goes on, he starts recognizing some familiarity with this voice, and you start hearing this voice, which is my voice, but it has a different effect on it. It has a very, like, almost like through a ham radio, very squashed mid-range frequency type of voice, and it starts becoming more present and more dominant as the album goes on. And then when it gets to the song Infinity, you hear it's basically speaking back and forth between the individual and his own soul. And then once it gets to the very last song, it's pretty much almost the entire song is the soul speaking. So it's the soul speaking through the man. So that's why the very last two songs are straight from the heart, straight from the soul. And that's why I really believe that it's speaking much closer to what I would say in a radio interview or what I would say on the street.
Is that like, that sounds like the competition between the alter ego and the true self.
Absolutely. And it's a varying representation of it. It absolutely is. Because it's really just the authentic self trying to speak to the inauthentic self. And, you know, it's a pretty neat storyline. And the way that the songs appear on the album is exactly in the order that we wrote all those songs. So,
and you guys all wrote these, you guys comprised the lyrics, so everybody was part of the lyric, or there's some more or else? Because it sounds like you guys, it's like a collage of you guys writing together when you're, is that correct?
Yes, yes. Now, I write all the lyrics, and I would say a majority of the song ideas come from myself, and then when I bring it to the band, that's really when the magic happens, because when the band gets their hands on it, it starts to come together, and then they'll write their parts, they'll alter parts of it, and it'll become what it is. So really, the writing is all four of us. But as far as lyrics and things like that, I do write all the lyrics.
Okay, and then they can sort of, so you write the lyrics, and then all you guys together comprise the orchestration of the music together. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Are they themselves going to write any of themselves in the future, any individual stuff, and comprise their own stuff, or they have stuff in the works of doing something like that?
You mean for like a solo project?
No. Like, since you've written a lot of the lyrics, mm-hmm. are they going to write themselves their own lyrics?
They may. I haven't seen any of that out of them. I haven't seen them really work on any of that, so I don't see that they have an intention of doing that yet. But I'm open to them exploring exactly what they want to explore as artists. You know, that's the beauty of this. Even though you could say that I may have a little bit more public notoriety because of the films that I've done, right. It's still so like. So, you know, every now and then when we're touring nationally, people will come up to me and say, you know, so these guys, your backup band, did you just bring them together for the songs that you're writing? And I say, no, absolutely not. These guys are just as much, if not more beautiful of artists than anything that I've done. And I would love to see them actually, step into that. I'm not really sure how they would even feel about writing lyrics. I don't think at the moment they even care because they're really just enthralled and immersed in their instrument, and they are speaking. Their lyrics are through their instruments.
Right.
I think they're happy with that. But if they do in the future come to me with some lyric ideas, I'll be very open to it, and I'll probably be very excited about it because, to me, that's a challenge. Like, how do I bring the colors out of what they're saying, you know?
Right. Well, the reason is interesting because amazing in bands, you know, the biggest thing about bands is how they people ask how the bands end. Well, when they break up, you know, and usually that's when their music ends. I mean, it's like the old Beatles thing. And it's amazing you guys have been together for a decade. And I think what stands out how you guys stick together so well. You just said it like you. Don't try to make yourself. It's Ben Stewart and Harrisonic. It's we're in one group, right? And you take away the ego part. You step back and make it. It's everybody. It's like a multiple of artists, not one artist creating this thing, which is pretty cool. And I think that's how you guys are lasting and then gelling so together. Because you know you become the epitome of your own art if you can think about it. You know you pull the alter ego out of your group and therefore the true self within, like you even in your own, and this sounds sort of weird, but like in your own movies, you say like the like working together, sort of like the organism, as you called it. So you guys are, I have that you working together and creating that tune. And that's what I think Jellison comes out with in your music. Like I said, each of you are really extraordinary. When I first saw it, like I said, the first thing I would think, not knowing, I know who you are, I don't know who they are, I was thinking, wow, like, I know how you're probably coming out, how they are, and I was sort of like caught off guard and seeing how well in depth each one of them are. I'm actually surprised that you guys haven't hit real major yet, and I think you guys are. There's like no way. If you haven't, I think you guys are going to really, you guys look like you should belong in a concert, not on a little stage like that, tell you the truth. That's how I see it. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys are hitting across the Europe or Australia yet, or
other not with the band. I mean, I've done plenty of tours out there, speaking for the films, but when we had a record label, just to give a little bit more background on the band, we've been really, really hard at it for 10 years. And finally we, landed a record deal, I would say about 2.5 years ago. And it was really, really promising, as you know, most record deals are. And then all of a sudden it started falling apart and these people just turned into scam artists, which, also happens quite a bit in the music industry. So, you know, we had no hard feelings. We just recognized, okay, this is, you know, every band's got to go through this once, I guess. But they were going to be sending the band over to Europe through Membrane Entertainment. And Membrane Entertainment, they're huge over in Germany. And so they put all of our music into, you know, we have our albums on distribution through a lot of the stores out there in Germany and throughout Europe. And so they were working on a music video for a song of ours called Paper Nation. And they were going to bring us out and put us on a full tour through all throughout Europe. And it just so happened that when our record label started bombing, basically, they didn't have the funds to put us on tour. So the tour flopped. The album didn't do anything over there in Europe because there was no promotion, no money behind the promotion. And we didn't end up going over there for tour. So we just decided to hit it big on our own. We started booking our own tours, really everything that you would imagine a record label to do, such as provide you with albums, provide you with tour support, provide you with a booking agent, provide you with, financial help to go into the studio and record, any of those things. We're doing all of it. We do all of our own artwork in-house. We theme all of our shows. Like, we're going to be playing the Zeitgeist Media Festival at the Avalon in Hollywood this Sunday, and we are the headlining group, and that's all the hard work of ourselves and all the people that we come into contact with. I'm not sure if you met Char, who is out at the Viper Room, but she's the coordinator for the entire Zeitgeist Media Festival. She works hand-in-hand with Peter Joseph, the guy who did the Zeitgeist films. Right. And we stay in good contact with all of these people, and it just so happens that all the big opportunities that we get, it's because of who we are and what we do, all the hard work. So, you know, I appreciate you saying, you know, we should be on, you know, in big concert venues, not little venues like the Viper Room. But, you know, the reality of the industry is we live out in Pennsylvania. We live 3,000 miles away from here. So every little show that we get, we're going to hop on an opportunity like the Viper Room to show them what we do. You know, they're like, okay, you have to sell 30 tickets to get into the Viper Room. Right. And we're like, okay, we will sell 30 tickets and we'll show you exactly what we're capable of. Right. So we do that. And, you know, as soon as we did that, the booking agents and everybody who got us into the Viper Room, they even asked, why are you here at the Viper Room? You guys should be playing bigger venues, just like you had said. Yeah. And, you know, our response is, this is how we play those bigger venues. You know, we can't just make promises to people. We have to show them who we are, what we do live on stage, you know, so it's a process. And that's the thing about the music industry that a lot of people don't realize is it takes years and years and years to have an overnight success. All the bands that you see like, oh my God, they just came out of nowhere. No, they didn't. You just hadn't heard of them. They had been doing it for years and years and years, and then they became an overnight success.
Right.
So that's kind of where it is for us.
But you do talk about, because I saw there is I hate to put it out there, a pretty ugly kind of thing within the music industry that's pretty gross. There's a lot of underlining things. I saw a lot of ugliness that when I was doing bringing some metal bands and tour and agents and trying to even, I mean, it was pretty gross what things happened. You know, everybody's trying to blood suck everybody else, and the one who gets hurt the most are actually some of the, like, I was independent, it was the persons they being independent, and also the band members end up getting hurt. But I can just see you guys actually, a lot of people look just in the market in the United States, which I think you're going to have a great market here, but I also see a real large market for you guys specifically overseas. And it's sort of poignant because I think a lot of music is actually changing, opening up. I know there's two groups, ironically, which are their heavy metal bands, and they're both, one's a Palestinian and one's an Israeli, and they're going together on tour, which I think is phenomenal. And it's trying to bridge people, to take people out of this, you know, compartmentalization. And you're that team and I'm on this team. No, we're the human race, not a single separate race. So I think there's something, there's changing to that. And you're like almost, everything has my old teacher before she passed away, she used to say everything has perfect timing. And I think you're in perfect timing where you guys are exactly where you are, where you're supposed to be. And I think I'm just telling you, I really can see you guys really grow, become a major deal, not just for your economics, which you know, everyone needs the economics of it. But I think because you've been, unselfishly putting out things. I mean, I remember a long time ago, a couple of years ago when I had you on my show and I asked you, dude, you know how many, you had like, I think several million hits on YouTube just on one film alone. And you had said, well, I just wanted to sell enough DVDs to cover my expenses. And then I popped it on YouTube. And I mean, that takes a lot. I mean, if you tell that to the average filmmaker, they'd like freak out. They'd turn cross-eyed. And that just tells you more how, I mean, you really do walk the talk. And I think, I think that you're going to get your group again is not going to benefit from that exposure. But I think your music is, you know, going to open up people and help people cross that way and changing their perspective. Because I really do feel that's our biggest problem. People see ourselves too much in this separate kind of thing. You know, everybody's separate, God's separate, Earth is separate, you and me separate. And that's actually pretty much illusionary. And I think, you know, your music and what your message is and what you're doing is creating that bridge to change people to see the reality. Because that's part of our growth as a human species of spiritual, but I think you're going to be doing great shit, and I love what you're doing. I look forward to it. And now you said you're playing, I know you said you're playing also in the Whiskey, aren't you?
Yeah, that'll be on Friday, August 2nd. We're playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go with Hoobastank, and it's part of the Sunset Strip Music Festival, which Linkin Park is also playing. So we're really, really excited to be part of that. Just stepping foot inside the Whiskey A Go-Go, you know, the Doors played there, and that's one of my biggest influences, one of my favorite bands. So, I mean, just to be able to step foot in there and be on that same stage is incredible.
Getting back to now, thinking about influences, what are your influences, and who do you like as far as your own music personally?
Well, There's a couple influences, and I definitely want to, I don't want to go overboard and say too many because I want to explain a couple of them. Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails is probably one of my biggest influences just as an artist in general because, you know, I've always loved Nine Inch Nails, but there was something specific about Trent Reznor. He just seems to get the times. He understands the times. And when he came out with this Year Zero project, this was long, long, long after, Closer and the Downward Spiral album when they really hit it big. But what he did was he made this interactive art project for people to be a part of called Year Zero. So all of his albums, all of the artwork, he was creating this alternate reality. And he did really cool things where he had a dream, just to give a little background, he had a dream where he was contacted by people from the future warning about what's going to happen in the next 20 years. And he just loved that idea so much that he turned it into an interactive project where he started leaving thumb drives in bathrooms all throughout Europe and throughout the States. And all that was on it was a little code. And if you could break that code, it wasn't too hard, but if you could break that code, it was a URL. It was an online link. So people would go to the link and it would be this web page with a broadcast, a broken transmission broadcast of somebody from the future warning about what's going to happen in the next 20 years, but it had nothing to do with Nine Inch Nails. So it was just to start building people's intrigue, and then he started leaving more links and more hints and clues, and people started piecing together by going to other links like, oh, this is Trent Reznor, this is Nine Inch Nails. So it was this whole idea so people could be a part of his art project, not just witness it, not just like, here, I'm going to leave a thumb drive with a link so you could listen to our music. No, this people had to put the pieces together to figure out what it was that was actually going on. And I just thought that was brilliant. So to wrap that one up, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, I think is just, he's on it. He gets it. He gets the X factor of what people want and what people love and how art can change people's lives. And then, I already mentioned Jim Morrison from The Doors. And that's pretty controversial to say he's one of my biggest influences, you know, because a lot of people look at him and say that he's satanic, or they look at him and say that he was just always messed up on drugs and he was just on a downward spiral, you know, through most of his life. And I look at it and I say, yes, I see that. I can see if you want to put it as negative, I can see negative parts of everybody. I could see negative parts of people in my band, my best friends. I could see negative things of people in my family and in myself. But the bottom line is, you look at the beautiful art, the beautiful voice of Jim Morrison, and you look at how freely he spoke on stage. He may have called people effing slaves. He may have, you know, acted out towards his audience in a way. But to me, that was his art. And I think Jim Morrison was one of those individuals that on stage, he wore his emotions and he wore himself on his sleeve and everybody could see it. And I just think he was with it. He was into the now, into the moment, and he was really into bringing people there and showing people, look, this is what's going on right in front of you. And I think those two individuals, Jim Morrison and Trent Reznor, have really shaped me as not just a singer, songwriter, and an artist, but as a front man, being the one with the microphone on stage, because that's a whole different animal than having a guitar or drums or bass or harmonica or violin, any of those things. When you are using your words and it is you, you are the art. You know, it's not what you're playing through the instrument, it is you.
Right.
And Trent Reznor and Jim Morrison really, really, they shaped and molded exactly who I am today.
Wow. Interesting. Because I could see the influence of Morrison for sure on that. I didn't really think about Trent, but I could see that too. How do you think, if you would describe the style of your music, how would you describe... If somebody just said, hey, what kind of music do you play? You know how they always label shit? What would you say your style is?
Well, I like to put things really, really simply because, you know, I could go off in all of our influences. But, I mean, we grew up throughout the 90s where alternative rock was it, you know. So alt rock wasn't really just Smashing Pumpkins and bands like that. It, you know, that reached into... you know, Nirvana, that was, some people say grunge, but that's still part of the alt rock movement. So is Nine Inch Nails. So is Pearl Jam. All these bands that, that I grew up with and the band grew up with, our biggest comparisons that other people tell us, like, hey, you guys remind me of Muse. You remind me a little of Nine Inch Nails and maybe Incubus and a little bit of Radiohead. And, you know, I think I hear a little bit of Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin in there. So those are some of the bands that we get compared to, but when I say what kind of music we play, I just say alternative rock.
Right. Okay. Because everybody likes to classify, but I think you guys have a unique, and I can see, and then your alt type style does cross different types. I think that's the beauty about alt rock. It does cross lines for, it's hard to compartmentalize. I mean, even Pearl Jam crosses line, Red Hot Chili Peppers, they go from playing some, you know, some funk stuff, I mean, off of bass playing funk, and then it's got hip hop and then, you know, rock and then even blues and jazz incorporated. So, I can definitely see that. Do you guys...
And Chili Peppers, they're one of our biggest influences as a band. I don't know how I forgot to mention them, but definitely the Chili Peppers is one of our biggest influences in the band.
Now, do you guys have ever outside play, just let's say without lyric, just play straight up music kind of stuff? Like you guys like jazz, blues, or just straight up music? Do you guys ever get into these little jamming? So, you know, because you know one thing I'll tell you is Rose Art, and it's like you never see that as much as they used to be, and I don't know why that is, but you don't see groups jamming together, just playing on stage, not even getting into the scene, without even getting into the long, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The music and then start going into a song. But do you guys ever do that or get into anything like that? Because I can imagine you guys, what sounds like you guys are still tight. you know, it, you know.
Well, for sure. You know, when you saw us play 30 minutes, which is like, that's half of what we normally play for a show. So in 30 minutes, we kind of cut out some of the fluff because we wanted to give enough of a dynamic with certain songs. We didn't just want to play three songs, but we do, you know, I would say in Pink Floyd style, we'll go into a song, have like an extended intro, set up the vibe and the mood of it, and then it'll break into the song. And then by the end of it, sometimes we extend, if there's a bridge, we'll extend the bridge and we'll let people just dance around to it, let people experience that part, not just listen to it, but experience it and get into it, dance. And then we'll bring it back into the song. And there's actually, that's how it's going to be for the Zeitgeist Media Festival at the Avalon on the 4th. It's right in Hollywood. We're going to be headlining that Zeitgeist Fest. And because we're headlining, we're going to have Peter Joseph on stage jamming with us. And Lily Hayden, who's a world-renowned violinist.
He's great.
And so we're going to have them on stage, and we're actually going to have a drum circle jam. So there's going to be a lot of instrumental portions of our set, and we may even only get 4 or 5 songs into that time period that we have. But that's kind of, to answer your question, yeah, we do that a lot. And we really do get into all different types of music. You know, you mentioned jazz and blues. You know, I'm a huge B.B. King fan. I love, like, Muddy Waters. You know, if you go far back enough, I love, what's his name? Blind Willie McTeal. You know, that's old, old, old blues. Just, you know, one old blind black man with a guitar who changed music and died poor, because back then they would, you know, they would give him enough money for booze and then make hundreds of thousands of dollars off his music. So, I mean, these are all huge influences of ours. But you have good bands these days, like Explosions in the Sky, Sigur Rós. These are bands that 90% of what they do is really all about the instrumentation and then a little bit about the vocals, a little bit about the lyrics. I mean, Sigur Rós, they don't even... I mean, from what I've heard, I haven't confirmed this, but from what I've heard, they have their own language. And I've heard them sing a little bit in English, but they have their own language and they sing in that language. It's not their native tongue. It's something that they created. And I think that's beautiful. That's all part of the art of it, you know, because you can sing just through your vocals without using lyrics. And I do that a lot, actually. There's a lot of parts in our songs where there's no lyrics. I'm just belting out notes and giving tone and texture and peaks and valleys, because it's really just more about the feel. What do you feel in the moment? And again, Jim Morrison did that a lot, where he would just go off and he wouldn't be saying anything in particular. He would just be hitting notes and kind of rambling on and off. And you know, you mentioned Chili Peppers and Anthony Kiedis. He does that a lot. You listen to Californications and trying to think of the song, but he does that a lot, where he's not saying anything in particular. He's just, oh, well, soul to squeeze. You know, he's like, Zodu, Bazamba, Zigga, Crumba, Kong, Gone Bad, Lacking Up a Gift, but I want to never, but my pleasure so much better, and I won't regret it never. So he'll go off and, like, kind of babble for a bit, and then slowly bring it back into the lyrics, and it just has a feel to it. Right. And we're really all about that, playing around with tones and textures and playing around with, you know, vocal ideas. And it's more about the experience, which I think jam bands get that. You know, it's not about playing 10 songs for the audience. It's about letting them experience something. And I think that's been lost. That's an art that's been lost. You know, Zeppelin knew about it. You know, Pink Floyd knew about it. A lot of the bands back in those days, they would jam for a while, and they would let the audience experience the song, and then they would sing about it, and then they would turn it into something else, and then they would turn it back into the dancey experience.
Okay. You're talking classic of that is actually the Grateful Dead.
Absolutely.
If you've I have to hands down say the best, if you ever anybody the old days, the best concerts, and I've been since I was a kid, since the 70s. The best concerts was always the Grateful Dead, because they'd go from what you're talking to dancing to they actually never stop. By the way, there's no breaks, and they play 6 hours, 7 hours straight. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing them in Santa Barbara. You see Santa Barbara, they played 6 hours straight, and there was no breaks. Because they even when they come off, there'd be one person jamming. And then when they come on, they continue bridging it back as the group took the rest of the group come back on, and they'd alternate playing their music, right? And it would just, they'd bridge in. So as I said, the music never stops, and they just, and it'd go into the dancing and singing and the harmonics, and then it'd go in, it phase in the song, and then out of a new, into a new song. And that's how they bridged it. So sort of like with that is, and you don't see that much, but yeah, that's extraordinary. Now, I know going down, I forgot to get into, I want to get into some, I know you have other art projects. I know you're about to go on to do, launching a new show on David Icke station.
Right.
Go into, which is sort of weird because I hope you fix him. wake him up a little bit. What do you feel about, what's your arts that you got, art projects that you got going on, and then I want to hear about what your new show is happening on his station.
Well, as far as other art projects, you know, the Hanged Man project is still always going on. And it's interesting because it comes and goes in waves where I'm really active with it, and then I'll kind of disappear from it for a while. And I do that on purpose a lot because the Hanged Man project, if you go to hangedmanproject.com, the website changes quite often and the content changes, and it's more about interaction between all the people. So I try not to let it just be, oh, this is Ben Stewart's thing. This is Ben Stewart. Let's go find out what Ben's doing. That wasn't the intention of it. So I spark some fires. I try and get people talking, and then I'll disappear and see what kind of comes out of it. So that's always ongoing, and I'm always looking at new film projects. There's always ideas for new film projects. I just haven't really decided on one just yet. So really the biggest art project that I'm working on right now is the one with David Icke. So just to kind of give a little background to the audience, David Icke, he raised quite a bit of money for a TV station and a radio station that he's launching called The People's Voice. And I think it's pretty cool because it's not about anything in particular. It's going to be just like any other TV station or radio station. The biggest difference is the sole intention behind it is to wake people up. And I think that's beautiful because if you think about it, it doesn't matter what station you're on. You know, like you could be watching Fox, you could be watching CNN or MSNBC. There's always an agenda. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, the agenda is to, you know, make people stupid and, you know, like brainwash people. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I would say there is actually a very intelligent agenda behind all of those news stations. You know, you watch HBO. There's an agenda there. There's absolutely an agenda. You look at the type of content that they have. There's an agenda. You watch Nickelodeon. There's an agenda there. Now, just saying agenda doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. It just means there's something they're trying to get at with that station. And that's the same thing with David Icke's station. His sole agenda is to wake people up and have them think for themselves. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, this isn't going to be about trying to convince people that this is going on in the world. It's not trying to convince people that that the Illuminati is trying to take over. What it's trying to do is wake people up and get them to think for themselves. And to me, that's right up my alley because I'm all about art and getting people to think for themselves. So the reason why I said yes is because of that intention. I am going to be basically launching a program on David Icke's station. I don't have a title for it yet, but it's basically going to be all about art and culture. And I'm not going to get too far into what the show is going to be. But yeah, I've been talking with David Icke regularly about this November. He's going to be launching the station, so right around that time, I will be launching a TV show. So it'll be regular. It should be at about a half hour every single week. And there's a lot of work. You know, any one of the listeners who happen to be in the LA area or can do remote help for the station, I'm building a team right now to basically create this show. And, so we're looking for anyone to help with production on the video side, on the audio side. marketing side, any of those things. So if anybody's interested, get a hold of me. You can email me at dahli@verizon.net, which is dahli@verizon.net. Get a hold of me, because this is something that's going to be happening very soon, and this station already has quite a bit of support. You know, I'm not going to get into all the names of the people who are willing to help out, but just for a few, you know, Steven Tyler and Russell Brand, they are friends of David Icke, and I'm not sure to what extent they're willing to help out, but I know that, you know, David Icke has their support in some way, shape, or form. So things are really getting a lot bigger for this station, and I'm just really happy to be able to share my art through this outlet.
That's really cool. You have your own way of putting out what you feel, because there is a little bit slant of there. You know, I don't want to get into applying, because it is David Icke. You know, people have their issues of his stuff, but I know he's allowing you to have your own freedom of what you want to put out on your show, even if it is counter to maybe what he views things. Is that possible? Are you ever going to be allowed to do that?
Well, we'll see.
because a lot of things that you respond is actually a little bit not in tune to what he proposes in certain things. You know,
I personally, like, I have read a lot of David Icke's work, and I've seen a lot of his work, and I've seen his talk at Wembley. I was actually backstage for his Wembley event because one of his main producers is a very good friend of mine. So I've seen a lot of his work, and, you know, it's kind of the same with anybody. I don't agree with 100% of anything that anybody says, but I'm simply going off of what I do know as of right now. I asked David Icke if I could have a show, or he came to me through this mutual friend to see if I wanted to do anything with the show. And I said, okay, here's my idea. And he said, I love it. Let's run with it. So if there happens to be any content in the show that is counter to what David says, then so be it. If it becomes a problem, I'm sure I'll find out. And I have no idea if it will, but, you know, that's what life's all about. You have no idea what the next step is going to be. You just start going for it, and if it turns out to be different than you thought, so be it. So, you know, there's only one thing I can do in my show is be myself and speak from the heart. And if it's something that isn't appreciated, then I'm sure it will be brought to my attention. But I have a feeling, if I just had to go with my gut, I have a feeling that even if I do say something that doesn't resonate with Dave, I don't think he's going to come to me and stifle it or try and edit it or censor it. I really do think that from what I know about him, which is very, very little, it's just his art that I know. But from what I do know, I think he's going to be open to whatever I want to do with the show. And if not, we'll see. I'll just cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, well, I think everything has a stepping stone to certain things too. So, right. I mean, if it's like if you go with him and then somebody hears you and it used as a vehicle to open up things, so be it. You know, it's just like sometimes sometimes we're utilizing, let's say, even the owner, you know, situation in the Viper Room, and then, you know, let's say you go on a stage and now you're doing a big concert and happens to be Ticketmaster running the thing, but it's still getting out your what you're trying to impose. And sometimes you have to work with certain people, and that's the whole point. We have to sort of work with people because we're all pretty much together. And it's interesting that you said about the agenda thing, by the way, with media, and I always look at, by the way, news, and that's why everybody goes, I don't want to listen to news, but actually I listen to news because I know it's advertisement, so I can see what they're trying, message they're trying to incur or create a diversion of. Like, example, the Zimmerman thing, I knew that was all, a lot of it had to do with diversions, but it's creating diversions, and what magic trick, what's really going on, you know? I want to know, because then I know something else is going on. That's how I look at it. And then, And then there's some things that have, they have implications. There are a lot of, you know, like, there's always two sides of two things. You can't say all, like, people talk about Masons, and there's also good Masons, you know, they have a good heart, and, you know, everything's, there's a negative agenda, and even with certain situations, like, I know people, good friends of mine who are in Goldman Sachs, for example, and people, oh my God, they're evil, and I says, well, you know, there is that group that actually trying to make a difference, like, they're actually trying to fix, save Earth, they're actually trying to, like, there's a huge area they're buying up in the middle, and they're actually trying to preserve land for animals and stuff. So I guess the eternal optimist, and I think that things somewhere along the line where actually Earth is changing and we're coming to a different situation, a collective consciousness, because we're all one. And as we increase, everything increases. So, you know, people change and people adapt and learn things. Otherwise, they sort of spin off, because this Earth isn't going to be the same old Earth. Earth itself is changing. And I think that's why what you're saying goes in fashion, and what you're going to expand on your own art is both, I say, taking away the duality of what people think and going into what they say in Taoism is the real true self, or higher true self of what we are collectively. And I think that's what you're expanding, and whether who you're dealing with, you're dealing with. I just know there's certain things come clash, though, so I was curious how that was. Because I know I had my personal stuff with him, and at one time I have a good friend who's extremely close to him, and I'm extremely, but she listened to me, and he doesn't really like what I say, but I don't care. You know, I say what I say, and I have to be honest how I feel about certain things, and then that you just let it go, what it is. And I think you're very fortunate that I think it's going to adapt. I think I see doing really quite well even with that, and I think you'll go beyond what it needs to be done, which is, you know, opening up other people, holding up a mirror, basically, letting us learn things and having a journey of things. Because we're, even while you're doing the journey for helping other, showing other people, you yourself is going through the journey, because we all learn from each other. So now, I know we're already at in an hour, but I wanted you to reiterate, if you can, to because you have a note, people here in the Los Angeles area, to tell where you're going to be, and if you can, please elaborate where they can contact or see what people who are not in the LA area, where your tour, the Magical Mystery Tour, is heading toward, or in their nearer words, or where they can get hold of, you know, your LP or see any information about you and your group as well.
Sure. Yeah. So Hierosonic is spelled HIERO. SONIC, all one word. And if you go to hierosonic.com or go to facebook.com/hierosonic, you can find all the information there. And, you know, I encourage everybody to contact, email us. We respond to every email. So yeah, I mean, like, as far as where we're touring next, you know, we're working on a music video out in the desert this week, and then on Friday of next week, August 2nd, we're at the Whiskey Go-Go with Hoobastank, and then the very next night we're just doing a meet and greet for the Zeitgeist Media Festival at the Roosevelt Hotel, and then the following night, August 4th, which is Sunday, that's the Zeitgeist Media Festival, the third annual Zeitgeist Media Festival. And we, you know, we're proud to have been a part of all three so far, and this one we're going to be headlining it, and it's going to be a blacklight party. So if anyone in the LA area comes out, you know, get ready for a blacklight party. It's going to be absolutely insane, but it's a great good social event, you know, using the arts for social change. As far as anything else with the films, you can find me at talismanicidols.org, TalismanicIdols.org. All my films are there. You can contact me through that, or talismanicidols@gmail.com. But, you know, I just encourage everybody, email me, email the band. We respond to as many people as we possibly can. The band responds to every email, but the emails that I get personally, it does get a little bit overwhelming. So if you're going to email me and want a response, ask a question instead of just leaving a statement, because I don't really respond to the statements unless there's something to be said, just for time's sake. But, you know, I try to respond to as many people as I possibly can. And that's what this is all about. It's not really about us getting out there and being able to just play our music. That's part of it. We love it. But we're here to connect with people. So please get in touch with us. If you have ideas, if you have, you know, opportunities, or if you just want to meet up, or if you want to interview, if you just want to go to the beach and do mushrooms, whatever, just contact us.
All right, man. Mushrooms. Well, that sounds like an old deadhead thing. Okay, anyway. Yeah, I remember the days when they passed those big old jars down the aisles.
Yep.
Ben, I want to, first of all, thank you for coming on my show once again, and I wish you a glorious, glorious shows to your group as well. I'd love to have had all of them on, perhaps one time to be interviewed collectively.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. And I look forward to your, stuff that you're going to be put on David Icke. Maybe I can help you if you want to get involved. I can possibly do something with you on that.
Let's connect on that, man.
Yeah, and I do know people, so maybe I'll talk to some other people. So about your getting me overseas. So, hey, I really hope you have success with this, and I know the success that you put out is both mutual for humanity, because I think they all benefit from you as well, and from your group. Again, thank you, and I want to wish everybody a glorious, glorious weekend. God bless you all. And until next week, have a glorious weekend. God bless. And thank you, Ben.